This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, prized by all people taking action to help the environment, the Ember Eco Awards are awarded by St Albans-based Ember design founder Lee Wood. A veritable eco-champion himself, Lee takes nominations from around the community for the award and puts the final choice to a panel of experts who make the tough decision about who gets the coveted, specially designed glass award. And the great news is that the Summer 2025 Ember Eco Award goes to Anna Barrett, the Green Champion at St Albans United Reformed Church Greenwood in Chiswell Green on the south side of St Albans. Just off the busy Watford Road, the Greenwood URC Church is a haven of tranquility and has recently been refurbished and the church hall has been totally rebuilt. I took a trip down to find out more about the church and what Anna is doing there to make sure that the buildings, the garden and the church's activities are all as environmentally friendly as possible. And I started by asking Anna to explain how her church in Chiswell Green is connected to the other St Albans United Reformed Church bound together by a tree.
We are one church on two sites. One is on Homewood Road and then this one is here. So the one is called Homewood and this is Greenwood. We wanted to keep the wood element in it and that's why our logo is a tree.
Wonderful. Well, that's already starting on an environmental basis with the wood binding you together with your lovely logo. So tell me a little bit about the URC, United Reformed Church. Where does that stand on environmental issues?
It's very keen. It was one of the first churches to divest from fossil fuels, and it is working hard to reduce its carbon footprint. We have a pledge to try and be net zero by 2030. That's quite a hard thing to do. And we recognise for the local churches particularly, that are often small and elderly congregations, it's quite a hard task for them to grasp. There's lots of things to do, but we are trying. We're hanging on in there and we're doing all that we can. Our local synod is Thames North Synod, and they have pledged to support churches who are doing anything that's improving their buildings, installing heat pumps or solar panels, and they will fund part of that.
And do you see helping the environment or caring for the environment as an important part of your Christian faith?
Oh, very much so. For me, it's a primary part of my discipleship. God has given us this wonderful earth and we've damaged it. We know that we've damaged it. And so part of it is repenting. We need to repent, but not dwell on that. Once we've repented, we need to move on and do all that we can to protect the environment and protect creation, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking positively about making steps to improve the environment rather than dwelling on the bad things we've done in the past. So you're the Green Champion at St Albans United Reformed Church, and actually it's been quite an exciting time recently, hasn't it? For a start, you are now an eco-church.
Yes.
So presumably you've had to do things for that.
Yes, there's the Eco Church programme. It has five strands: worship and learning, buildings, land, lifestyle, and global and local involvement. So it's a very broad programme and lots for us to look at and do in lots of areas. So yes, there's lots of exciting things to do.
Well, that sounds like it must be keeping you busy. And then we are now standing in this beautiful new church hall building. So shall we go into the hall and take a look at some of the features that you've incorporated in there?
Yes, I'd love to show you. Come on in.
Wow, so this is a lovely modern space, huge windows, and it has a lovely airy feel to it. And it's a very hot day today, but it's not too hot in here, is it? How have you managed that?
I think it's the design of the building. It's got a sloping roof, so the north side of the building has very few windows, so that helps to keep it warm in the winter. But the windows are up high, and we have a balcony at the front, so that keeps the sun off the building. And we've got the windows that open looking out to the field. And once they're opened, even on the hottest day, we get a lovely breeze coming through and it sort of maintains the temperature. But we have some other interesting things, like we've got a heat recovery system. So if the carbon dioxide level reaches too high, so if you've got a lot of thick people in here and it's very warm, then this will cut in and the fans will start working and it will bring in cooler air from outside. And when it's cold outside, it will use the outgoing air to warm the air coming in.
That's clever.
Yes.
It's a nice feature. And how about these panels on the ceiling?
Well, this is infrared heating. They're designed to heat the people rather than the space. So it can be quite warm and cozy in here during the winter months.
And how about on the roof itself?
We've got, I think it's 32 solar panels. So we are generating a substantial amount of electricity that we can use in the hall. And what we'd like to do next when we have sufficient funds is perhaps look at getting batteries so that we can use it in the evenings, which is when there's most electricity used.
So you've got some great material things that are making you more sustainable in this hall, but you don't limit it to just the building itself, but also what you do in here. Now, you run a community toddler group, which is a lovely thing to do. Congratulations on that. But you've also used that as an opportunity for being a bit of a green ambassador.
Yes. Any opportunity I have, and there's lots of opportunities to do that, is to bring in that we are an eco-church and what we're doing and what they can do, even if it's just planting a few seeds together with the children and then talking to the parents about why we've done that and why we're an eco-church and encouraging them to recycle. And I make a conscious effort not to use resources that are plastic-based, not using things like plastic stickers and things like that. I try and use anything that's paper-based. And using junk, having children paint a cardboard box is just, they just love to do that.
Marvellous. Well, best to start them when they're young. And then also more obviously green events, like just like this weekend you had a repair fair here.
Yes. Do you try and do a lot of work with partnership organisations? Yes, that was a partnership of three groups, St Albans Fixers, but also the local Soroptimist group, which meet in our hall. The Soroptimists and the church, we hosted the event together. If you come to a repair fair, you're invited to make a donation, and that is split between the fixers and the hosts. And the Soroptimists and the church have agreed that what we will do with the money we raised, we are going to twin the local community garden with ripple effect garden twinning. So the money will support a garden in Africa because we feel that it's the people in the Northern Hemisphere, ourselves, that have created the climate crisis. And it's those that are in Africa particularly that are suffering. So anything that we can do to support them is really important.
Yeah, and often the people who are worst affected are the women. So
yes, that's why the Soroptimists are so interested in doing that.
Okay, well, you mentioned gardens there. Let's go and have a little look at what you've got in the garden here and your plans.
Yes.
So we've just come outside here now. You might be able to hear the red kite behind us, and there's some insects buzzing along as well. So Anna, tell us about some of the features that you've got in this garden here. I can see a sign over there, something about the chalk bank. What's that?
That's right. When they were doing the preparation work for the building, they dug up a soakaway and they pulled up a big pile of chalk. And I came in
the morning after, and I was jumping up and down with excitement because I knew that I could use that to make a chalk bank. So we've made a chalk bank just behind the church building, and I sowed it with kidney vetch. It already has some wildflowers growing around that area, so there are other wildflowers growing around it, but there's kidney vetch has taken there, which is the host plant for the very rare small blue butterflies. So I'm hoping against hope that we will get some. But in the meantime, the bees have been loving the kidney vetch flowers this year.
As you can see, there are butterflies over there. I mean, they're not quite the butterfly you're looking for yet, aren't they? And how about the trees? You have some beautiful trees here.
Yes, we've got some lovely trees, but the basis of our logo really is our beautiful big oak tree on the field. It's such a splendid, even shape, and it's much loved by the congregation. It's seen so many picnics underneath it and children climbing in it. And we were delighted that as part of the planning application process, the council decided that that and the other two oak trees on our site would be given tree protection orders. So they are safe for generations to come.
And I can see also you have got some mown grass. I presume this is used for, as you say, for picnics and things. But you've also got some grass which has been left as well.
Yes, we feel that it's a very important, because we've got such a big space, it's important to leave some areas unmown. In fact, just beyond the general long grass, we, with the help of Wilderhood Watch, 2 or 3 years ago, we sowed a wildflower meadow. Now, that was damaged a little by the build, but it has come back and we will carry on working on it, and hopefully we will get a richer diversity of wildflowers within that meadow in years to come.
And you've got plans for more here as well.
Oh, yeah, yes. We're very lucky to have the support of Wilderhood Watch, who came and helped us think about things that we could add. I'm very keen to get some sort of water on the site. We've identified an area that we could put a pond in, and we would like to divide up the site with dead hedges so that people can't wander into it, that it's safe. But also, we're hoping to put a smaller area at the front to make it like an example of an urban wildlife garden.
Do you hope that it will give inspirations as your congregation or people visiting?
That's the idea generally, that it's an example, that we will put an explanation. Yes, that it's an example so people can take ideas away with them for things that they can do in their own homes. And so hopefully it will be something that will influence people, and they'll see how beautiful wildlife gardening can be, but it's not necessarily wild. It can be controlled and beautiful too.
Spoke about influencing there, so let's pop inside again and we'll talk about the work you're doing to influence your congregation here. So Anna, you like to take the opportunity as the green champion here to spread the word about the environment as much as you can do. So what do you do to try and make sure that the congregation here is as informed and knows what they should be doing as far as the environment goes?
Every week there is an email that goes out to the whole congregation giving them latest updates. I always make sure that there's a little snippet of information, so maybe something that I've done or something that I'm planning to do, or something that they can do at home. So for example, the big butterfly count, which is something that's quite close to my heart. It's all quite close to my heart, but that particularly. And that's something that they could take part on. So it's things like that. I try and mix things up, different things, but it's something every week, one way or the other.
And have you got any idea about how your message is received?
It's a mixed result, to be honest. Churches are a cross-section of community. Some are receiving the message enthusiastically and understanding and wanting to move forward. Some of them may feel that it's difficult for them to do anything because it's such a vast problem and they're in their 80s perhaps, and so they're not quite sure about what steps they can take. But everybody can do something. I mean, even, and this is included in my messages every so often, even if it's just to pray.
Now, you said though about everybody doing something, and you have got the church treasurer next on your list for doing something. What are you hoping that they're going to do?
Well, recently we had a talk at the Synod Ecose, which was held here from Operation Noah, and the speaker
explain to us the importance of not banking with banks that support the fossil fuel industry. So I think that's something that I'm going to be introducing our treasurer to and explain to him that perhaps we ought to be looking again at our finances.
Now, you've recently received the Ember Award for being an eco champion. How do you feel about that?
I feel incredibly honoured. It was very unexpected. I'm glad that it's recognised that everybody can do something, because I feel I've not done very much in the scale of things. But we all try and do things together, because I think that's the key. That's what I'm proud of, is being able to work with other members of the community and try and do things together.
Indeed. Well, let me say, I think you've done an awful lot here, and I think that the award is very well deserved. Anna, thank you so much for showing me around today and telling me about the great work that you've been part of and continue to be part of. Thank you.
I was talking there to Anna Barrett, Green Champion at St. Albans United Reformed Church Greenwood and winner of the Summer 2025 Ember Eco Award. Now, the next Ember Eco Award will be awarded in September, and if you know someone you'd like to put forward for that award, then simply email your details along with a brief summary of your chosen recipient to info@emberdesigns.co.uk, and I'll make sure that I pop that email address into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. So perhaps you're a member of a church or a mosque or a group from any other faith which has taken sustainability to its heart. Well, it would be really good to hear what your faith group is doing. Do get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. And I've just got time to tell you that Jefferson Eco in the town centre of St Albans have got some short workshops coming up on how to use a sewing machine, how to crochet, how to knit, all very reasonably priced, and could be a good way for a teenager to learn a new skill to use over the summer holidays, or perhaps for you to learn so you've got something creative you can do whilst enjoying a quiet moment in your garden. Again, I'll pop the link into the podcast notes. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.